I want to spend a few minutes this morning talking to you about the 12th man. Anybody familiar with that term? Anybody who watches football would probably be familiar with, what is the 12th man a reference to? The fans, right? It's the people, you got 11 guys on the football field playing their hearts out, and sometimes the difference between losing and victory is the 12th man. It's the energy from the crowd. It's the team being backed by the people who surround them. There's a radio show I catch from time to time on Sirius XM. It's done by a Catholic priest. His name is Father Dave Dwyer. And Father Dave has a section in his radio show it's actually quite humorous. What he does is he plays a game called What Did I Just Say? And he plays his Sunday homily. And if you're familiar with the Catholic tradition, the homily that the priest gives is kind of what we in the Protestant church might call a really short sermon. It's maybe 4 or 5 minutes, 6, 8 minutes, usually at the longest, unless the priest is really, really long-winded. But it's typically pretty short. Protestants say, hey, that's not enough preaching of the word. Some Protestants say, hey, Pastor Randy, you could learn a little something from the Catholics. Preach a little shorter. But anyway, Father Dave, what he does is he plays his entire homily, and it's typically only 4 or 5 minutes. He plays on his radio show. He's got people on the phone line. And then after everybody's heard the homily, he goes to the callers and he asks them questions. He says, what did I just say? So he'll take something out of the homily. And I'm always amazed at the questions he asks. I thought I had really bad ADD and couldn't pay attention. These folks, I mean, they just clearly on this show, unless they just pick callers who are just, you know, goofy and funny on purpose, maybe that's the point of it, they don't know what he just said. I mean, it's like they're not even listening. So I want to play a version of that with you this morning. Instead of what did I just say, I want to play the game, what did I just hear read in church? Okay, you ready? Now, no peeking. Close your Bibles. Don't look in your bulletin. Here's the question I want to ask you this morning. What was the name of the apostle elected to replace Judas? Anybody remember? You guys are good, Matthias. Now, in the early service, they remembered too, and I asked them this question. I said, how many people knew that coming into church today? And not a single hand went up. How many of you knew that before you heard it today? A few people. Less people remembered it than actually heard it today and remembered it. And I think that's what's striking about this particular story. So let me ask you this follow-up question. What is Matthias most famous for? That's it. That's what he's famous for. He was elected to be the 12th disciple after Judas committed suicide. And what's really fascinating about that is you never hear Matthias mentioned again in Holy Scripture. I mean, that's it. He pops up that one time in Acts 1, never to be heard from again. Some theologians speculate that the 12th apostle, in reality, should have been Paul, and that an error was made by the disciples in the election of Matthias. And that's a kind of interesting perspective because, particularly as Reformed Protestants, we look at the Word of God and we say, this is inerrant. It is without error. And we believe that. God's presentation of the Word is inerrant. But it doesn't mean that as part of the narrative of the story God is telling us, that there are not stories that point out errors that humans have made all along the way. I mean, we can think back to just the first book of the Bible, Genesis, right? It's the inerrant word of God, but at the end of the day, Adam and Eve made an error, did they not? They disobeyed God. So there are stories throughout Scripture that include examples of errors made by humans, and God gives these to us so that we can learn from them. I happen to believe that the very story we heard this morning from Acts is representative of apostolic error. And I like to hang it on Peter just because I relate so well to Peter. Peter, in my opinion, is one of the funniest characters in the Bible because he means well. He's overly ambitious, but he's overly impulsive. I can relate to that latter part, the impulsivity. Saying things and then realizing that the mouth moves faster than the mind. Peter is just notorious for doing those sorts of things. And so I think that the book of Acts gives us a glimpse, a really nice glimpse, of the Christian church at its very beginning. And today we're hearing a part of that story from Acts from the very first chapter before Pentecost. Now, we're going to move into Pentecost next week. This is the last Sunday celebrating the Easter season before we move into the actual birth of the church that we get to celebrate when the Holy Spirit comes upon the church. And if you continue reading out even past the Holy Spirit coming to the church, I think you still get some really interesting pictures in Acts where, frankly, the early church under the leadership of the disciples made some errors. And that's okay, because we get to learn from them. And in fact, I think that's why they're written down. These stories are written to the church so we can hear what the Spirit is saying to the church so that we don't have to make the same mistakes that they made 2,000 years ago. Unfortunately, we do. But maybe if we studied the Word a little harder, we'd make a few less of them. Here's why I think Peter was in error in what he did this morning in that story by leading the apostles to elect a 12th man. Here's what he says. He says, "Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." Peter has set up some very specific criteria. It's got to be somebody who's been there the whole time, who witnessed the crucifixion, who witnessed the resurrection, and who witnessed the ascension, which we just celebrated this past Thursday. The ascension is always 40 days after Easter. Pentecost is the 50th day after Easter. Here's why I think Peter made a mistake with that election process. I'm going to give you a couple of reasons, actually. Number one, if Jesus really wanted the 12th apostle, why didn't he appoint one before he ascended? I don't know. There's really no answer to that. I'm just giving you an alternative to think about here. Here's the other reason. If we were to back up in Acts 1 and look at verse 8, which we didn't read from this morning, listen what it says. Luke is the writer of Acts. He's the author. And he says, this is what he reports. He says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Luke has Jesus saying, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, disciples, you're going to receive power. When Peter holds that little meeting to elect the 12th man, has the Holy Spirit come on them? No. Do they have the power of the Holy Spirit? No. It's not yet Pentecost. We're not going to get to Pentecost till Acts 2. So I think that also gives us reason to realize that Peter was just being Peter. Peter's being impulsive, trying his hardest, working as best he can, but maybe putting the cart in front of the horse, as Peter often does. Here's the other part that makes me think that this is error on Peter's part that the church can learn from. Did you notice how they made the election of the 12th apostle? They rolled dice. They cast lots. Could you imagine if that's how we governed ourselves? I don't know, maybe the outcome would be better, I don't know. But it just doesn't seem like it would be the godly way of going about things. In fact, up until that point in Holy Scripture, the very last time the Bible gives us an example of the casting of lots, it was one of the most hideous acts committed against our Lord, when the guards gambled for his garments at the foot of the cross. They cast lots to divide up the very garments Jesus would wear at the crucifixion. Matthew 27:35. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Can you imagine? This is what Peter led the disciples to do the very beginning of the church. Let's cast lots to see who the 12th man is going to be. But listen to this. Despite the errors, God used those imperfect disciples, mistakes and all. He used them to bring about his church. And those theologians who would suggest that maybe it was a mistake to elect Peter, that really, if they would have been patient, Paul would have come on the scene and Paul might have been a 12th apostle. Perhaps. But Paul wasn't a perfect man either. Paul had a very specific ministry that he was given by the resurrected Lord Jesus. Paul tells us what that ministry is. Acts 22:21, Paul says this, "The Lord said to me, 'Go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles.'" Paul, a Pharisee, in fact, a Pharisee amongst Pharisees, Paul was present at the very first Christian martyr's death. He was there, he was called Saul at the time before the Lord changed his name, but he was there when they stoned Stephen. Paul's got some mistakes in his history. But even when Paul comes on board as a disciple, as an apostle, Paul makes some errors. The Lord tells him, go to the Gentiles. Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles. Peter is the apostle to the Jews. Yet all throughout Acts, we see Paul going to the Jews. He's off base. He's out of position. He's not obeying the Holy Spirit's call in his life. Acts 18:4, every Sabbath, Paul reasoned in the synagogue trying to persuade the Jews. What is the apostle to the Gentiles doing in the synagogue persuading Jews? He's out of position. Acts 17:2, as was his custom, Paul's custom, Paul went into the synagogue and on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the scriptures. Peter made mistakes. Paul made mistakes. We don't know if Matthias made mistakes. We'll never hear from him again. But despite those errors, God used these imperfect disciples, mistakes and all, to bring about his church. And what I want you to hear this morning is that should serve as encouragement to us. It shouldn't make us feel fearful. It should encourage us to follow the Holy Spirit calling on our lives, to do whatever it is we're hearing the Holy Spirit call us to do to the service of the body of Christ, to bring God's kingdom to this earth. And that's going to be different for you versus the person you're sitting next to versus me. Everyone has a unique calling on their life by the Holy Spirit. Our job is to obey it. And that helps us in some ways become that 12th apostle. In football, that would make us the 12th man helping the team to victory. We may never know if anyone was supposed to really be the 12th apostle, and if so, who it was supposed to be. Revelation tells us this in chapter 21, verse 14. It says, the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now, the good news is, when we get to heaven, we can go read those names that are listed, all 12 of them. We get to find out, was it Matthias? Maybe it was Justice? Maybe the lots went the wrong way and Justice was supposed to be elected. Maybe it was really Paul. Maybe it's none of the above. The kids this morning sang as a part of their song, one of my favorite kiddie songs for Christianity. In fact, when Madison was probably about 2 years old, her grandmother bought her a CD. It was a VeggieTales CD, but it was customized. You know the VeggieTales, all right? It's like a Christian broccoli, and a Christian tomato, cucumber, right? They're vegetables, but they're vegetables for the Lord, right? And they teach kids Bible stories, and they teach kids music. And one of the songs that was on Madison's CD was God Is So Good. Except the CD was customized, and it had her name in it. So God is so good, God is so good, God is so good to you and me becomes God is so good, God is so good, God is so good to Madison and me. So Madison got to hear her own name as a little tyke, that God is good to her. I have this belief that when we get to heaven and we see those 12 names on the 12 foundations, that spot number 12 is customized. It's not going to say Matthias. It's not going to say Paul. It's not going to say Peter. When we look at it, as faithful servants of the Lord, we're going to see our name. I think that's the way it was intended all along. We are the church. Each and every one of us is called to be that 12th man, to be that 12th woman, to be that 12th apostle for the Lord. The whole point of the new covenant of grace and the planting of the church was the point that by faith, anyone can be grafted into the family of God. And once we are, then we have a calling on our life to serve. There's no longer 12 tribes. That was the whole point of the 12 apostles. It was a shadow pointing to what was to come. The 12 tribes of Israel manifest while Jesus is teaching as the 12 apostles. That's going to be done away with when we bring in the entire world, which is what Jesus came to do, to die for the sins of many. First he came to the Jews, but then he came to all the Gentiles. That's how we get grafted in to the covenant of grace. There's no longer 12 tribes, so there's no need for 12 apostles. There's no longer Greek or Jew. That's what the scripture tells us. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. This is why we heard in our second reading this morning that Nina read to us, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. This is why Jesus prayed in that gospel account that we heard this morning. He says, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of this world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. The word is your truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. Just as God sent Jesus into the world, Jesus has sent them, the apostles, the disciples, of which we are the modern day disciples of Jesus Christ. He says, for them I sanctify myself that they too may be truly sanctified. We're sent into the world, or at least we're called to be sent into the world. That is the Great Commission. That's what Jesus calls us to be and to do. He says it in Matthew 28. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus said. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. We're in that awkward liturgical part of the season right now. Jesus is resurrected. But on the 40th day, which would have been this past Thursday, as we celebrate that in the liturgical calendar, Jesus is ascended. He's not with the disciples. But he made a promise to be with them always to the end of the age. You see, he had to go to heaven. That's how he would have the Father send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come upon the church, and we will commemorate that next Sunday at Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit lives in each and every one of us who place our faith and trust in Christ Jesus. Like Peter, like Paul, and even like our little known friend Matthias, as imperfect as we may be, Jesus calls us and he sanctifies us and by the power of His Holy Spirit, even in our mistakes and in our imperfections, we cannot fail when we remain committed to the job that He is calling us to do. Part of that job, my brothers and sisters, is for each and every one of us to prayerfully consider, what is He calling us to do for the body of Christ? And I would call upon you to call upon His name so that His Holy Spirit may lead you toward the righteous path that He would have you be on. And He promises to be with you till the end. And that, my brothers and sisters, is incredibly good news. And if you receive that good news this morning, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Would you rise? Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Your inerrant word. We thank You for story after story, book after book, verse after verse of You revealing Yourself to Your children. We thank You that it's a book of perfection that doesn't show us how perfect the people are. In fact, it spells out mistakes so that we can learn from them, Lord. And we pray that by the power of Your Holy Spirit, we're guided to not make those same mistakes, that we can learn from them, that we can put our full trust in You, that we will be guided by Your Holy Spirit who indwells in us to become perfected through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the perfect one, the one in whose name we pray this morning, and the one who taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer, which I invite you this morning to sing.